And let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 3. We're going to have a look again. We're going to continue where we left off last week with the sinful nature, the two natures that man has. And when we're born again, we get something that unsaved people don't have, and that is another nature. The old man or the old person doesn't have a choice. It doesn't have a second nature. But again, we have another nature. So the question is, when we get the new nature, when we're saved, what happens to the old one? What happens to that old nature? Get somebody to read John chapter 3 and verse 6 there, please. John chapter 3 and verse 6. Okay, so there the Bible says that which is born flesh is flesh. First of all, the old nature does not change. When we get saved, the old nature, that fleshly nature, stays exactly the same as it was. There's no transformation of it. It stays exactly the way it was. Man's sinful flesh will always produce the works, the Bible says, of the flesh. Now, as Christians, we're all saved. I would assume we're all saved. We all have that new nature. How many people would be able to raise their hand and say, you know what, I've never experienced, since I've been saved, that old nature in my life? Anybody? No. We all know that it's still there. We all know that it wants preeminence and it wants to rear its ugly head. It's still there. It hasn't changed. It still desires to do wrong. It still desires to do sin, if you will. Secondly, the old nature, it doesn't improve. It doesn't get better. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2, 22, sorry. And Romans chapter 7 and verse 24 calls that old nature wretched. And in verse 18 in Romans chapter 7, he talks about being like in me, in the natural man dwelleth no good thing. So it's not good. It doesn't become good. Can I get somebody to read Ephesians 4 and verse 22? Okay, so there, the old nature is corrupt. And something that is corrupt, it can't be improved on. Years ago, I told a bit of a one of those things, you do, you wish you never did. Fried my computer, and my hard drive was corrupt. And, there was no getting things back. It was done. And it wasn't going to be restored. It wasn't going to be improved. It was done. And so we find that the old nature doesn't change. We find that it doesn't improve. And also, it does not or cannot be transformed. And the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So when a person is born again, the flesh does not transform itself into spirit. Okay? And a lot of people get this idea that somehow when we're saved, that old nature just gets transformed. When we think about 12-step programs, reformers, Alcoholics Story, Unanimous or Anonymous, and all of these, help programs to help people with pornography addictions or drinking problems, or again, where their flesh is ruling their life, they can't get victory over it. All of these different programs in the world, all they can do is try to reform the old nature. That's the best they can try to do. They can't give them a new nature. The problem is that old nature can't be transformed. You can't take that which is corrupt and transform it and make it into something that it's not. And, you know, when I think about that, this is a problem. You know, we look at people in church, and we look at people that are out of church. They're in church, they're out of church. You know, and sometimes you see people who, you know, maybe made a profession and then he maybe even became a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a pastor's wife or a pastor or whatever it may be, and they're doing well and everything seems to be good, and you look at their life and you think, man, you know what? They're model Christians. They look really, you know, really good. And then all of a sudden they're either out of church and they don't want anything to do with God, or maybe they've just suddenly realized that they need the Lord, and they come forward during an altar call and they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you say, well, what happened? Well, how did they live like that for all those years? And that's really all they were trying to do is again, take the old nature, because they didn't have the new nature and they were trying to transform it. And a lot of times people end up leaving church and they end up burned out and they end up out of, you know, God's will, because that's all they were ever trying to do. And, you know, saved people can do that as well. We have two natures, but sometimes without even realizing it, we can just say, well, you know what, I'm just going to try to train my old nature. I'm going to try to just change it. I'm going to try to train it and transform it. And that's where we have carnal Christians who are trying to live in the flesh still. And you know, again, people get burned out. And people get frustrated and they get fed up and all of these things, because they're simply just trying to transform that old nature. And there's so many people out there in churches that aren't saved, and that's all they're doing is trying to mask over that old nature and transform it. But that old nature cannot be transformed. And again, in Ephesians 4 and verse 22, where we read there, it talks about putting off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And again, the new birth is a creation, not a transformation. And the new birth is bringing in a new thing, not changing an old thing. And my old nature remains the same. The difference is this: I now have a new nature created by God. And that's where we need to discern and we need to differentiate. We all would say that we have had times in our life when we know that old nature still exists. You know? And that old nature can still win out. And that's why we've got to make sure that the transformation of our minds, we'll look at that in a little bit, begins to take place by allowing that new nature to have preeminence in our life. And we are being transformed, though. And we've got to understand that we are being transformed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 17, it talks there about, you know, any man being in Christ is a new creature. He's a brand new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. So that idea, again, of a transformation is there. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, many of us can probably quote that verse, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's changed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this transformation that it's talking about here of our minds, again, we've talked about a lot of the various aspects of what a Christian is. We have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit, we have a will, we have emotions. You know, there's a lot of different things that make up a person. So when we get saved, when we get that new nature, guess who has trained our minds over the whatever, how many years you've gone without Christ? For me, it was 31 years. So I went 31 years with my old nature training my mind and making decisions for me. And so my mind, you know, thinking about being saved at 31 years old, I had 31 years of worldliness and 31 years of human philosophy, you know, various things in the world that people are taught today that just aren't right. And so now when we have the new nature, our minds, we can allow that new nature to begin to reprogram our thinking. You know, sometimes, you know, you get a new believer, somebody who's just been saved, you know, they might say things or do things, and you're going, well, no, that's not right. And, you know, sometimes I've seen people scold them and get all mad at them. And, hey, wait a minute, they're new believers, amen? And their mind is still, you know, I over and over and over and over again over the years, I've heard new believers say things and do things. You know, well, what's going on? Are they walking in the flesh, or, you know, are they just carnal? No, they're being transformed. Their minds have to be reprogrammed. And the new nature is going to do that. And sometimes we just, you know, we can't expect brand new babes in Christ to act like mature old Christians. They're not going to. And so this transformation is part of our progressive sanctification. And again, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed or transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. So again, this is that old nature allowing us to grow and become more spiritual, the new nature, and growing. And so sometimes as Christians, we can have stunted growth. Have you ever seen someone and you ask them how old they were, and they said, yeah, you know, I'm 17, and they look like they're 9, you know? And you said, man, there just seems to be a little stunted growth. But how about the way somebody acts? And then they say, well, I'm 22. And you're going, okay, you're acting like you're 6. And we say there's something a little bit wrong there. Somebody says, well, how long have you been saved? Well, I've been saved for, you know, 27 years. And the way you're talking, you know, isn't like somebody who's been saved for 27 years. You know, there's just still a lot of things that aren't right. And you see, we can, as Christians, if we don't allow the new nature to take over, we don't allow that new nature, the Spirit, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, to begin to transform us, we're still living according to the old nature. We're allowing that old fleshly nature to control us. We'll be stunted in our Christian growth. And I know Paul, again, talked to the Corinthians about that. He said, listen, you guys are old enough. You're old enough. I think I mentioned this last week. But you're old enough to be eating meat, and you're still drinking milk. Okay, you're 12 years old, and you're still using a bottle. Drinking out of a bottle. Okay, there's something wrong here. And so Paul, you know, there, if you read, talking about they were walking after the flesh, and that was their problem. They were all happy just allowing that old nature to still run their life, and they were stunted. So it can't be transformed. Our old nature can't be transformed. Number four, it can't be purified as well. When you think about the old nature, you can think about a polluted well. And the water in the depths of this well is polluted and corrupted. It's not fit to be drunk. And you can only put a danger sign around it or whatever it may be. It's polluted. Warn people not to drink of it. You could install a brand new bucket. You could put new ropes on it. You could make it look nice. You can do all the things you want, but the water that still comes up out of it is still going to be undrinkable. It's not going to get purified. The problem is the source. And there is water out there, the poison water, that nothing can be done with it. It's just unusable water. And that's like man's old sinful nature. It's polluted. It's a polluted stream that flows from sin. and disobedience to God. And this water is never, ever going to be purified. Then also, the old nature can never please God. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8 there. And can I get somebody to read verses 8 and 9 of Romans chapter 8? So the Bible says there that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, we were talking a little bit earlier there about some of the teachers out there, you know, in mainstream media and popular Bible teachers, and there seems to be a lack of offense. In other words, they're not saying anything that might offend people. And something that might offend a lot of people today, especially in the neo-evangelical realm, is that you know, when you're not saved, you can't please God without the Lord Jesus Christ, without being born again. You know, it doesn't matter how sincere you are in your religion. And how many times do we hear that? I remember Dr. Laura, I used to listen to her on the radio all the time. She used to go on all the time. Well, as long as it's a good religion and it's promoting good things and you're sincere in it, yeah, you'll get to heaven. You know, she was a universalist, and most of these mainstream popular preachers, Joel Osteen and even Oprah, well, you know, as long as they're sincere, you know, that's all that's important. And it's offensive to say to somebody, listen, you know what, you can be the most devoted person in the world in your religion. You can be the next Mother Teresa and go and help people all your life. But according to the Bible, those religious acts are an abomination in the sight of God if you're not saved. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. And then in verse 9, the Bible says, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he that loveth him that followeth after righteousness. And again, the way of the wicked is detestable to God. No matter which way he goes, no matter what he does, he cannot please God. An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. It's sin, according to Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 4. And plowing the field is normally considered to be a constructive and needful activity, but the unsaved man cannot even please God in this. And then in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 26, we've seen the sacrifice of the wicked, their religious acts are an abomination. We saw in verse 9 that the way of the wicked is an abomination. And then verse 26, the Bible says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. And again, the thoughts of the wicked are detestable to God. God is not pleased. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, and you that were sometimes alienated, and the Bible says, and enemies of God in your mind. You know, before we were saved, we were the enemies of God. And the old nature, that old nature, no matter what it does, cannot please God. It can't. So we find it cannot please God. Then we also find the old nature remains with the believer until death do us part. And we find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18 there. When we are unsaved, the old nature dominates everything we do, including our thoughts, words, and deeds. We could not help but sin. We were slaves to sin. We could do nothing but sin. Even our righteousnesses, the Bible says, were as filthy rags. You know, the believer, though, has a battle that rages. And by the way, the unsaved do have a battle. It's a different battle that rages in an unbeliever. But there's a battle that rages in the life of a believer every day. And that battle is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. It's a battle that happens every day. And so many Christians have given up the battle. So many Christians have just, you know, hey, I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to let the flesh, the old nature, have its way because I like it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And the Bible says there that these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. And that's an interesting statement there. Ye cannot do the things that ye would. Because the Apostle Paul, I know we looked at that a little bit last week, but we'll look at it again this week. The Apostle Paul struggled with that old nature and that battle that raged in his mind. And, you know, when we think about being justified, I thank God that when the believer goes to be with the Lord, there is a great and final transformation that takes place. And, you know, I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad that God says that we can have the victory over the old nature. But he's still there. But I'm thankful that when we're glorified and that we're gone to be with him in glory, I'm glad that old nature is not coming with us. Amen? He's staying back. We're gonna be separated from him forever and from forever and forever. And at that time, and that time alone, until either death or the rapture takes place, we're gonna have to deal with that old sinful nature. We've been saved from the penalty of sin, that's justification. We've been saved from the power of sin, that's sanctification, and that takes place throughout the life of Christ as, again, our minds are transformed, and as we yield to God and walk in the Spirit, we are sanctified, and then we're going to be glorified, saved from the presence of sin, and that will take place in the next life when we are with Christ forever. And so the battle between the natures will continue until that day. The old nature, by the way, as well, was condemned by God. Again, God did not change the old nature. God did not transform it, didn't improve it, but he does condemn it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So Christ died on the cross. He condemned his flesh. And our old sinful nature was condemned at the cross and Calvary. And again, in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man, and ladies, no, it's not your husband or your dad, the old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed. That means rendered ineffective. And again, we should not serve sin. And again, that's an important thing for us to understand, that we should not serve sin. Also, when we think about the old man, what is the old man? Again, it's not your husband, it's not your dad. The old man is basically the old Adamic nature, that the fallen aspect of man. The new nature is that regenerated, redeemed, born-again nature that we're given. And that old man is characterized by the fallen sinful nature received from Adam. The new man is born after God, the Bible says. The old man came about by natural birth. The new man came about by spiritual birth. And the natures of the flesh and the natures of the spirit are contrary. And again, you know, when we think about this, 5 years before you were saved, that your new nature didn't exist. But after salvation, it did. And the old man is not, somebody said this, the old man is not simply the old nature, though it involves the old nature. The old man is characterized as having a nature that is opposed to God, and this nature stamps its character on the activities of the old man. End of quote. So the old man is described by his works, or his deeds. It talks about being a liar, a tempter, a thief, bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking, an unforgiving spirit, and many, many different things are characterized by that old nature. The new nature is characterized by kindness and tenderheartedness and being forgiving. And the new man is a reflection of God in holiness. So how do we handle the old man, the old nature? How then does God deal with this old man? God doesn't change it. We know that. He doesn't transform it. What did God do with your old self? Well, all that you are and all that you have in Adam? According to Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 again, the old man was crucified with him, with Christ. That old nature was crucified. And again, this is something that we need to understand. It was crucified. It is done. It's not something that we need to strive to have. It's only a truth that we need to believe. It's a truth that we need to believe. And when we think about, again, obedience, the Bible talks about a lot of different things. It talks about putting on and putting off the old man. Put on the new man, put off the old man. Yet we know that the old man is crucified, past tense, it has been done. In other words, he has given us the power. And just like salvation, we've got to understand that crucifixion and putting that old person to death was the work of God. It wasn't the work of man. And that's what we need to understand as well in our life today, that continual crucifixion of the old nature, that daily dying to self is the work of God. It's not something we can do. It's not our old nature being put to death by our will, but it's the Spirit of God. It's that new nature that has the power to overrule and put to death that old nature. So yes, it's a done deal, but at the same time, we still have, a responsibility to put off that old man. And you know, one of the things that I think as Christians, one of the things that I think we can do every day is get in the habit of asking ourselves when we've maybe had a reaction or maybe we've said something or maybe it's just a thought. We should ask ourselves, is that my old nature? Or was that my new nature? Making that decision, or thinking that thought, or having that reaction, or whatever it may be. Because sometimes, you know, we'll make a decision, or we'll have a reaction, and we won't even stop and consider where it came from. And that's why every day we need to get in the habit of making sure, constantly doing a check in our life. You know, when I was a forklift driver at Ford, we had to go around. We had a clipboard, and we had to go around and do about 21 things on there. We had to check. I don't know. There was a great big nut on, held the wheels on, but we had to make sure it was torqued properly. I'm not sure how we did that one, but we had to at least do a visual to make sure that the wheels were okay. Check this, check that. We had to go around the forklift, and we had to make sure everything looked good. And I think it would be a good idea as Christians if, you know, we would learn to do that sort of thing in our lives. If, you know, we're not going to check maybe mechanical parts, but we can check to make sure our spiritual nature is ruling our life and do an inspection of our thoughts and our actions and constantly throughout the day do little checks. Am I walking in the Spirit today? Am I following the Lord today? Am I doing right? Or am I walking in the flesh? You know, there's many times in my life I've known that I'm doing something in the flesh. And you know what I've said? I don't care. I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to do this
till it's done, and then I'll repent, and you know, everything will be fine later. And you know, we've gotta realize every day that we're in a battle. We are in a battle. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I know we've looked at this verse already, but I want us all to look at it. Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to really look at the language here. In verse 22, the Bible says there that you put off. Again, is this a command or a fact? Is he commanding us or just telling the fact that the old man has been crucified like Romans 6:6? What do you think? Okay, it is a fact, but here it's a command. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And then look at verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in holiness created in righteousness and true holiness. So again here, if we consider the language here, we are told to do something. Despite the fact that, yes, the fact is our old nature was crucified. That's done. That's just something we need to believe. But at the same time, our responsibility to discern the difference between our old man and our new man, that we put off the old man and we put on the new man. You know, every morning we wake up and we decide what we're going to wear. And then your wife tells you really need to change because that doesn't match. We're told to change. You know, we all decide what we're going to put on. And you know, every day, I don't know if anybody noticed, but I know there's been an election recently. So I tried to just please everybody, orange and blue and red, and I just tried to make everyone happy. But you know, you can never make everyone happy. But you know, we have a choice what we're going to put on every day. But in the spiritual realm as well, we have a choice who we're going to put on every day. That old man has been crucified, and we can crucify him. We've been given power over him. We've been given the ability. You know, there are some suits and clothes and things that I know. I've got these two green long sleeve shirts that every time I put them on, Diane says, "Honey, you've had those since we've been married." And I said, "Honey, I've had you since we've been married, and I'm not putting you away, right?" You know, there's been some clothes that I've had to get rid of. You know, they've turned into rags or work shirts or whatever. Those two green shirts have turned into work shirts. But, you know, we can just choose. Sometimes we can get rid of certain things. If we don't like them anymore, we can drop them off at one of the bins, you know, at the various places that are around, to go to the secondhand stores or go to the poor or whatever it may be. But you know what, that you open up your closet and that one suit in there that, you know, looks like Herb, I think his name is Herb Tarlick. Yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. Don Cherry. you can't get rid of it. You know what, every time you throw it out, it's back. And that's like our old nature. We just can't throw it away. But we can choose not to put it on. We can take it and we can put it in the back closet and kind of bury it back there. You know, and God's given us the ability to do that. And so here the command is clear, and we find that as well, that this sort of idea in Galatians 3 and verse 27 and Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, that the first passage there telling us to put on Christ, the second passage giving us a command to put on Christ, one of them, a command, one of them, a fact in Galatians 3 and 27, the fact of the new nature, the old nature being put to death. And even when we consider Galatians chapter 2 and verse
20, where Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul there, talking about his, again, willingly and purposely putting off the old man, he said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm going to live in the Spirit. Because Paul had battles in his life. He understood the battle between the old nature and the battle of the new nature. And again, there's a couple of errors. And again, I know I went over them a little bit last week. And one of them was sinless perfection. And 1 John 1:8, the Bible says there, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceived. And this is talking to believers. And in verse 10, it says that if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. Now, there's another error as well out there, and that is the error of sinful imperfection. And this is basically where a Christian just says, you know what, if I can't be sinless, why worry about it? You know, I've got an excuse, right? Since I'm going to sin and I can never get full victory over sinning, I might as well just go ahead. And we call that sinful imperfection. And Romans 6 talks about it that as well, because some believers actually thought, hey, listen, isn't this wonderful being saved by grace? It doesn't matter what we do, you know, or how good we are. And they said, you know what we should do? We should go out and sin more just so that grace really abounds, man. So people can brag and say, man, look at how wicked I am, and God's grace is still sufficient. Amen? And Paul said, that's a really dumb idea. That's just not smart. And so we can't just use that as an excuse. You know, God promised us the victory. Amen? And when the Bible talks about sin or continuing in sin, the Bible does make something very clear that we can have the victory, though. We don't need to perpetually live, you know, in the realm of sin. And we can repent and we can have victory over whatever sin is in our life, whether it was drinking, if you've had a drinking problem, or smoking, or pornography, or, you know, wrong thoughts, or anger, or malice, or stealing, or, you know, whatever it may be. God can give us victory. And it's there. So we can't use this excuse of sinful imperfection. And the new birth is corrupt. The old birth is corrupt. Sorry, the old nature is corrupt. The new nature is made in righteousness and true holiness. And again, Paul struggled with that in Romans chapter 7, talking about the things that he wanted to do, he couldn't do. The things he didn't want to do, he did. And that constant battle that took place. You see, the Christian battle is not on the outside. And, you know, we get this idea that all the battles are won on the outside, you know. It's all about how we look. But those are maybe signs of victory. But the battle's in our mind. That's where the battle takes place. And Paul understood that. He understood that the battle was in his mind. And in verse 14 of Romans chapter 13, the Bible says there, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, make not provision for the flesh. Don't give that old nature any provision. Now, what do we say provision? We might say, well, that's, you know, feeding it, giving it things, providing for it, giving it opportunity. You know, if you were to spend a day in the woods or at the beach, and you'd probably bring along some provisions. And those provisions would be there so that you wouldn't starve to death. Or so you wouldn't have to wait for 25 minutes to try to find a picnic table to sit down and eat your lunch. Or whatever it may be. You know, you bring your provisions and to not starve. And God tells us, a believer, that we're not to make or have provisions for that flesh, but we're to starve it. We're not to give it strength. We're not to allow it to yield its ugly head. And I'll just close with this morning. Within my heart, within my earthly temple, there's a crowd. There's one of us that's humble and one that's proud. There's one that loves his neighbor as himself and one that cares for naught but fame and self. There's one that's brokenhearted for his sins and one that's unrepentant sits and grins. Two natures live and dwell within, but thanks to Christ, there's victory to overcome my sin. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study thy word, to understand who we are. We can understand better. I believe we can understand better the battle that rages within us. And everyone maybe can see where we are. And Lord, I just pray that the Spirit of God would work and we would each and every day allow the Spirit of God to work, that we would feed the Spirit and we would starve that old nature, that old flesh. Make no provision. Don't allow him to rule, to yield his ugly head in our lives. God, would you bless as we go into the morning service for your glory in Jesus' name.